I invite you to pray with me. I'll be using some themes from Psalm 145. Let's pray together. Gracious God, you are good. You are good to all, and you have compassion on all that you have made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people give you praise. Creator God, as part of your good creation, we praise you. We have experienced your glory in the death and resurrection of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So help us to be faithful to speak of you without fear and without shame. Lord, we long for others to know the greatness and the wideness of your kingdom, which is from everlasting to everlasting. Even our minds are stretched to think of the immensity and the enormity of your kingdom. Lord, we thank you that you are trustworthy in all of your promises and faithful in all that you do. Help us to be trustworthy as we bear witness to who you are and as we seek to be faithful to you each day. Guide us in the way that we interact with each other, in the ways that we treat the good creation which you have entrusted to us. We're grateful that you uphold those who fall. We're grateful that you provide for our needs. And we're grateful that you are able to satisfy the deepest longings of our hearts. Lord, you hear those who call on you. And so this morning we call on you and we pray for friends and family members to know the healing that can only come for you. We continue to pray for Anthony, Bruce, and Sue, that they would know your healing work in their lives. And Lord, we lift to you those that we don't know by name, but people you know. And we ask, Lord, that your compassion would be shown. We pray that you would comfort those who grieve and those who mourn. We pray for our partners in ministry who speak your words and act in ways that show your justice and love. And Lord, we want to say thank you again for your servant Henry. Thank you for the way that his relationship with this congregation started and for the partnership that we have shared over the years. Continue to speak through him and work through him as he serves you. Lord, we give you thanks for this country in which we live. And we thank you for those who serve currently and for those who have served in the past. And we're grateful, Lord, for the freedoms that we do have. As this past Tuesday was election day in various towns and communities across this nation, we pray for elected and appointed officials that truth would be spoken and justice would be worked out. Lord, help us to speak your praise, to point people to you as Lord of all. Lord, that is our hymn of praise. We pray these things in the name of and for the greater glory of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Back in the day when our daughters were toddlers, we lived in a house that was owned by the church, and we would roll pennies together to buy milk. Ruthie used to say, well, the church owns the house, the bank owns the car, God owns the kids, and we own the dog. And I joined her in saying that because it seemed right. It was a simpler time back then. And somehow life became more complicated as our daughters grew older and as we grew older. Don't have to laugh that hard, Frank. Think with me for a moment. Were we right in saying that the church owned the house, the bank owned the car, God owned the kids, and we owned the dog? I mean, these statements seemed to be true to us. They seemed to be correct. Let's reflect on that a little bit over our time together this morning. We're beginning a brief series this morning entitled Managing God's Resources. Make no mistake, it's a series on stewardship. But also make no mistake about this, that stewardship is not primarily about money. It's not. Rather, it's about how we live our lives each day. And so what I'd like to do is ask you to follow along as I read from a couple different passages this morning. Listen to God's word out of Genesis. Genesis 1:28. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." And then in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it." And then skip over to Psalm 24, 1 and 2. "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, that they would be acceptable in your sight. For you are the very rock and redeemer of our lives. You are our creator God. And so, Lord, help us to think our thoughts after you. And in so doing, know you better and serve you better. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's think about stewardship a little bit. Just what is it? The word stewardship is not even mentioned in the scriptures. Did you know that? There are probably a lot of pastors who'd want to tell you that it is, but it's not. The only word that's used is steward, but not stewardship. Often churches have a stewardship season. And anyone who's been a part of a church, even for a few weeks, knows that stewardship means, oh, that's the time where they're going to ask us for money. And even some people I know, you can't make this up, some people I know have even gone ahead and scheduled their vacation so they miss stewardship season. It's true. It's true. Stewardship is the act of managing wisely the resources entrusted to us by another. Let me say that again. Stewardship is the act of managing wisely the resources entrusted to us by another. A steward is one who has been appointed or designated to manage someone else's possessions. So with this understanding, we need to ask a question. Who is it that is entrusting us with their resources? Who is it that is appointing us or designating us to manage their possessions? Well, that person is our Creator, the Lord our God. And this can be seen in the very opening chapters of Genesis. Now, if you remember, over the past several weeks, we took a look at a series where we looked at the sweeping story of Scripture. Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. There's a great deal that can be seen in the Scriptures about stewardship. But we can read right over it. We can miss it. We have to take the time to look for it. And the question is, do we look for it? Will we look for it? It's a challenge. And we're called to steward well. So let's take a look at some of the basic building blocks of stewardship. It makes sense that these basic principles are in the beginning of Genesis. In fact, there are some statements in Genesis chapter 1 that are referred to by theologians and scholars as the creation mandate or the cultural mandate. So if you want to sound really smart, you can say, well, I know that in Genesis 1:28, they refer to that as the cultural mandate in the Bible. Remember what it says. Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Now, what's important for us to realize that this comes in a context. And in verses 26 and 27 of Genesis, we're told that we are created in the very image of God. And the Creator has given us a responsibility as humanity to manage God's good creation. And that could be done because we are created in God's image. So therefore, we are trustworthy to do that task. In Genesis 2, man and woman were put in the garden to work it and take care of it, to till it and to keep it, or as Eugene Peterson says in The Message, to work the ground and keep it in order. This is about caring for and managing what God created. In Psalm 24, it underscores what was said in the early chapters of Genesis. The earth belongs to the Lord. Why? Because the Lord created it and everything in it. And all people in the world rightfully belong to God. All that we are and all that we have is God's. And so if we take these three passages in Genesis 1, Genesis 2, and Psalm 24 together, there are a couple principles that become clear. First, the Lord is the owner and the creator of all that there is. Number two, we are created in God's image. And third, we have been given, or better yet, we have been entrusted with responsibility. In God's good creation, we are called to care for, cultivate, develop, and manage what God has given. Are you up to the task? That's a huge responsibility. Being created in the image of God infers that our responsibility is to be carried out in a God-like fashion. The very quality of our work each day is to reflect our Creator. This is no small task. We are called to be managers or stewards of all that we have. And so if you take a look at this graphic that we have for the next couple weeks, managers and stewards of the time, the hourglass, the time that God has given to us. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We are to be responsible to use that well. We are called to be managers or stewards in the top right-hand corner of our relationships. What relationships? The relationships with the people we like? Or does it include the people we don't like as well? Well, it includes it all. Relationships at work and at school, with supervisors, staff, colleagues, teachers, and students. Relationships in the various communities we live in. relationships on the various teams that we play on. We are called to be managers and stewards of the relationships we have with people in the context of our common ministry of work and worship and witness. And yes, the relationships with our family members. Now, just an aside, the holidays are coming. And you know where I'm going, right? We're going to be sitting at a table. And some people are going to be sitting there saying, boy, I hope so-and-so doesn't bring up the topic of politics. I hope so-and-so doesn't bring up the topic of Aunt Mary. Yeah, well, Miranda's like, oh my gosh, Aunt Mary. You know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, there are some people in our lives who drive us nuts. And they may be sitting here in this room. You know it's true. And you know something? Maybe, just maybe, God has brought our families together and our worshiping community together because God wants to help us to grow into Christ likeness. We're called to be good managers and stewards of the ideas. You see the light bulb? The ideas that we have and the ideas that others have. We're called to be managers and stewards of the creation. Those are the green leaves in the background. We're called to be managers or stewards of all the resources that God has given to us. Steward well. Stewardship is about orientation. It's about the orientation of our minds. Are our minds oriented around what we have? Years ago, when I got my license to drive a car in high school, the big thing was to have your own car. I didn't have my own car at that point, but I was close to having a car. And then once I bought the car, I realized that there's more to having a car than just the sticker price. You got to fill it with gas, a lot, and replace the tires and change the oil and give it a tune-up. I mean, there was a lot involved in that. And so during my first year in college, I had kind of a different English professor. We didn't do a lot of English in that class. English was whatever we wanted to do on a contract basis. This was back in the 70s, okay? And there was one day where Dr. Tim, his first name was Tim, but we wouldn't call him by his full name, it was just Dr. Tim. Dr. Tim said, got a question for you. Do you own your car? Or does your car own you? And we're sitting there saying, well, is that a trick question or something? Of course we own our cars. I mean, how can an inanimate object own us? And then the more we thought about it, we just realized and said, hey, maybe this guy really does have a point here. You see, the choices that we make with the stuff of life brings with it consequences. Are our possessions really our possessions? How do we think about that? I think one of the ways we think about it is that stewardship is about the orientation of our minds. But stewardship is also about the orientation of our hearts. Are our hearts oriented around what we have, what we want? Or are our hearts oriented toward understanding what it means to be a manager or a steward? If God truly owns everything, then that affects the way that we act. That affects our choices. That affects our words. That affects our desires. You see, the orientation of our minds and our hearts are what really kind of fuels our passion. Years ago, I heard about the contrast between being tight-fisted or open-handed. If our hearts are oriented toward ourselves and our possessions, we are in the danger of being tight-fisted. It will have an effect on the way that we live our lives, the way we treat others, and the way that we see life in general. If we hold on too tightly, it's going to drain our energy. And we can miss the goodness of God's grace. If our hearts are oriented toward God, we have the opportunity to be open-handed. We realize that all that we have really isn't ours, but it's a gift from God. We are freed to live, to serve, to manage, to cultivate, to develop that which has been entrusted to us by our Creator. It's a choice. Choose well. Steward well. As life became more complicated, Ruthie and I have changed the way that we've thought about ownership. We've changed the way that we've talked about ownership. We realize that the homes that we have lived in were gifts from God, and we use them as a place to develop relationships with others. We realize that the cars that we've owned were gifts from God, and we use them to serve. We realize that our daughters were and are gifts from God, even when it was difficult raising them. And our dogs, they're a part of God's good creation. And honestly, they showed us unconditional love when we didn't deserve it. All that we have, and all that we are, comes to us from the Lord. We are called to be good stewards. We are called to be good managers. How's it going so far? Are you being a good steward of your time? Of your relationships? Of your work? Of your talent? Of your ideas? The challenge for us is to steward well. Let's pray together. Lord, it's hard to come before you, the Creator of all, and realize that in some ways we've done well, in some ways we haven't, in some ways we haven't even thought about it. And so, Lord, we ask that your Spirit would be at work in us. Lord, help us not to be overwhelmed, but to take a step at a time, knowing that you're Lord of our time. You are Lord of our relationships, Lord of our ideas, Lord of our work, Lord of all that we have. Lord, help us to release the grip on what we think is ownership. To open our hands to you, realizing that every good and perfect gift that we have comes from you to us. May we have open hands to receive it. And may we have open hands to freely give of what you've freely given to us. For we ask it in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.